Also last year, while a TUC affiliate, TUC Trade Union Congress is the largest, indeed the largest union in the entire nation, under Palmore, a black leader who has come out strongly for a patriotic front, a unity government of the WPA, PPP, and the PNC. Also just last year, while a TUC affiliate, the union organized its own rallies, and there was not all the noise heard this year. This distortion by the PNC's organ has been described as an organized campaign aimed at confusing the working people who are uniting to fight against oppression and which has sent the PNC reeling into panic. The same issue of the New Nation, dated this May, on the front page carried a list of 11 TUC May Day rallies, each with the name of leading PNC members as speakers. Yesterday, a special meeting of the TUC failed to get GAWU to withdraw its plans for May Day rallies in the Sugar Belt, which they openly invited members of the PNC who did participate. We have been also invited to other entertainment programs at the Cultural Center. A leading government, and perhaps the most important government Cultural Center activity, we will be invited to on May 28. We will have to make plans all through the week, as we are getting $1,000 to be in the Cultural Center on May 21. We will have to be making plans all through that week for singing engagements, professional engagements elsewhere. We are indeed becoming quite popular. We will be on a radio show for an hour. We want to arrange all the radio shows possible. The musicians and the radio can talk about that at this time and gain every inch of advantage from the impending visit, impending opportunities to really carry our socialist theme, our cooperative theme abroad, because we are wanted very much, very popular in Georgetown. All we have to do is learn Caribbean, calypso music, be versatile. We'll have to find out more details. The musicians can get them from Paula. You need to coordinate a secretary for the radio. Paula, during the day, needs to coordinate from someone in the musicians to coordinate your activities so plans can be made for you to entertain in as many spots as possible, to be on as many radio shows, all the media shows as possible, and to entertain in as many events. You've also been invited to be a part of the fundraising for a children's nursery. We will see if that is endorsed by the government, so there are all sorts of opportunities awaiting you. People's National Congress reportedly taking over University of Guyana. Several departments and faculty boards, says the opposition paper, The Mirror, which is certainly not going to be any more objective than any other opposition paper, says that several departments and faculty boards of the University of Guyana have so far come out in condemnation of the proposed Admission Council for Higher Education, ACHE, recommendations for the setting up of the Admission Council and new guidelines relating to the admissions of students were handed down to the University of Guyana by a former education minister and pro-chancellor of the university, Mrs. Cecilene Baird, some few weeks ago. The new formula for admissions are aimed at arresting the powers of the academic staff of departments concerned in selecting students for admissions on known and university-recognized academic criteria. The formula will also replace the need for approval of respective students by the faculty boards and the academic board. Entrance to the university is presently based on the following criteria. 5 GCE O-level subjects are equivalent gained at not more than 2 sittings, with certain subjects specified for certain departments. Performances at the open entrance examination. That's why all of our schools must work hard. Now we have to work hard to meet the test requirements. This is an English system where you are tested at various levels to see whether you go on to school or get advanced degrees. Open entrance examinations for all degree programs, work experience, Socialist Work Experience Special applicable for matured students. Now the ruling PNC party, through Pro-Chancellor Baird, intends to lower the standard of the academic requirements, replacing them by community involvement and socialist objectives, social attitude, values, etc., which I, in fact, disagree with the mayor. I think that that is a progressive stand. It also makes a part of the requisites commitment to the national development of agriculture and the national policy of developing the technology skills of the Guyanese economy, and assurances that no student will then leave after they receive their education at the expense of the country, because college education, education at all levels, is provided free in socialist Guyana. Even they will consider for admission, the new policy of admission at the University of Guyana, non-academic skills, and they look at motivation, socialist motivation, as the best criteria. I'm really surprised at the mayor's opposition of this. They don't even make any sense as a Marxist-Leninist opposition to this kind of criteria. The academic criteria of 5 O-levels at 2 sittings are to be replaced by 4 O-levels at 3 sittings, and the open entrance examination is to be modified to make it easier for entrance. I would think that all class vestiges of the British system would be welcomed by all parties, including the PPP, to be removed. The wave of strikes in Japan is continuing, following a number of victories by the organized labor movements. Every year in the Japan nation, the workers have no alternative but to take strike actions in the face of reluctance by management to hike wages to compensate for rising and staggering prices, and a reluctance by the management class of capitalism to hike wages to compensate for the staggering rising prices. The spring offensive for 1978 has brought some considerable gains. However, at present, railway and bus transport workers are locked with their managements in a battle for higher wages and better benefits. Workers launched a 3-day strike, which has paralyzed the country's transportation system, marooning millions of citizens in homes and offices. In the meantime, the Western powers are considering a plan designed to reflate their economies and to put an end to the protracted economic crisis. The various powers have been registered very low growth rates. Stand by. Stop the tape for the moment. Stand by. Situation of the Thursday news. Angola, the People's Republic of Angola, that had been bravely freed by Cuba and the Soviet forces, was invaded last evening by the dreaded apartheid regime, the Fascist Union of South Africa. However, organized efforts of Marxist liberation forces from all parts of Africa, even as far removed as Nigeria, and Cuban force brought in airborne from Ethiopia to increase the military presence, has driven back the Union of South Africa inside its own border, and Cuba has warned in the Soviet Union that any such repeat of this performance to invade the sovereign territory of Angola will be met with full Soviet and Cuban retaliation. Again, again and again, Cuba, the Soviet Union, is the vanguard of all liberation people, of all oppressed elements of the world. I said last night that Angola would not be allowed to go down. It was almost prophetically. Indeed, it was prophetic, and here we have the proof of it, that within hours, the Soviets, Cubans, Marcos Frelimo, Marxist liberation elements of other nations, even those of the social democracy of Nigeria, have driven back the invading horde of advanced military-equipped people. The technologies of Union South Africa are quite advanced, being that U.S. multinational corporations, the transnationals, the fascist ruling clique of the U.S. has equipped them with the best of weapons, as well as the Zionist Israel, the fascist ally of USA. The Zionist Prime Minister Begin of Israel is in USA trying to mend fences, and indeed he needs to do so, as Jewish revolutionary armies and Jewish defense leagues, right-wing Nazi-like terrorists of the Jewish community, are burning down Communist Party headquarters, and any group that speaks out for unity of the Palestinians and the Israelis. As you know, the Israeli fascist ruling clique under Begin is gaining a lot of resistance from the working class people. 25,000 workers protested around Begin's palaces demanding peace, demanding withdrawal of the invading hordes of Israeli forces backed by the United States into Lebanon. Increasing resistance is being met in Lebanon to the Israelis, and the Israelis look that they will have to, within days, withdraw to their borders from Lebanon, where they invaded and even killed an entire community of children and women. The Palestinian Liberation Front is receiving strong backing from Iraq and Syria. Even Jordan, formerly King Hussein, could be counted to be in the USA capitalist camp, but he's moving more and more to the left coalition, at least, and a pro-Arab stance, a real proudful pro-Arab stance on behalf of the oppressed Palestinians. The State of Israel was set up to divide Jewish activists who used to be the best and strongest activists of civil liberties and were the most active in the war against fascism and the struggle for communist liberation. But then the fascist clique ruling circles in the USA and Britain set up a state to fulfill their religious prophecies called Zionism, Israeli. Nation cut out, carved out of the Palestinian people's own lands. The Palestinian people were actually repatriated, redeployed, removed, not repatriated because that means sent back to your own country, but expelled from their own country and put in concentration camp reserves around the unnatural and artificial state of Israel. All those progressive and liberal forces in the Soviet and socialist progressive forces in the world had demanded an integrated government, even though the Israelis were introduced into an area that they did not own, had no right over, other than by some religious myths of thousands of years ago. All progressive forces, including the Pro-Arab League, have been open to an integrated state of Israelis and Palestinians. And understandably, that is the only solution, the only solution to a miserable problem like that. President Carter demands that his shipments of arms to the Arab nations be sent in spite of protests by Begin, appealing generally to the public, trying to reach the public through U.S. media that have been strongly pro-Zionist, pro-Israel in the past. Little seems to be done. As President Carter puts it on the line, that it is a test of confidence in his administration that he will give equal shipment and supply of arms to the Arab nations as he does the Israelis. Strong resistance in Congress due to lobbying efforts of the Zionists continue, and these vicious attacks by Zionist elements on progressive peoples, such as the burning down of the communist headquarters, both in California and in New York. But it does not seem to deter in any way the bravery of the people to resist the Zionist control that has been exercised in USA too long. The Zionist control that has been exercised in lobbying, millions of dollars of lobbying money, too long in USA. Strong Arab support is now coming, and obviously so. The Jews should have known they would have been sold out even if their cause had been right, because people in U.S. capitalism bow to the moneyed interest, and the Arab nations are the rich ones that have oil. It seems that the Christian and Jewish religion was pretty faulty, that the God of Jesus and the God of Moses could not lead those poor folk to anything but sand. Israel doesn't have a drop of oil, it has no natural resources. And the Arabs, the so-called heathens in the eyes of Christians and Jews, got all the riches of the world, because the Arabs are setting, the Arabian people are setting on the top of the oil deposits, the richest deposits, except for the atheist, the greatly atheist and beautiful atheist Soviet Union, that has one half of the world's oil supply. That's encouraging for those who are fighting for liberation. The South Africa U.S. steel companies, the steel corporations, in their quest to make greater profits, have quietly been exploiting the resources and peoples of South Africa. While they complain of so-called unfair competition from foreign countries, the United States steel owners are silent about their exploitation of South African workers under a brutal system of apartheid, which, as I said, all members of color, black, brown, Indian, have to have serial numbers, have to be in bed by 6 o'clock, cannot be with their own families, husbands and wives have to be separated from Christmas to Christmas, they cannot be with their own children, they must give work duties for white people, but they cannot bring any member of their own family into white neighborhoods. They cannot swim in the oceans, they cannot go to the theaters, they cannot walk on the sidewalks. This is the apartheid regime that was built by U.S. multinational corporations and U.S. government. Now they're trying to wash their hands as black liberation forces and the brave Soviet Union and Cuban Revolution supporters are backing the liberation of Africa everywhere. So U.S. fascism and West German fascism are trying to resettle these devils of apartheid, these most vicious racists since Adolf Hitler, who supported Adolf Hitler, in fact, in the murder of 7 million blacks, browns, and people of color in gas ovens. We must send letters. Some of your letters, your tests I've been grading all night, are very beautiful. So you can write beautiful letters to the Guyana Chronicle and the government. It can be passed on to whatever agency, the United Nations, that Guyana wishes to protest the introduction of these racist bigots that are going to be pushed out of Africa. We need none of them here. And Uruguay is already considering taking several, I don't know, 160,000, I believe, and Costa Rica, several tens of thousands. But the USA that set these devils up and used them will not receive any of them. They're afraid of their hate turning, I guess, against even their own white ruling class leaders. U.S. capitalist, monopoly capitalists never look after their own, just like the capitalists are not looking after Prime Minister Morrow, even though his life is in danger, as he's being held in hostage for ransom for the release of political prisoners falsely arrested by the capitalist state of Italy. U.S. Steel, the largest U.S. steel producer, and one of the largest U.S. coal mine owners, is the largest holder among U.S. steel companies of South African property. U.S. Steel owns the following property of South Africa. This is never admitted in U.S. press, but it's brought out by the Guyana Chronicle and the Guyana Mirror. U.S. Steel and U.S. coal companies own Mariko Fluorspar, Fluorspar, Limited, 100% ownership. U.S. Steel began commercial production in 1975. Again, that steel company, coal company in Africa, is known as Mariko Fluorspar, two separate words. It's a large and massive corporation, 100% owned by U.S. Steel. It began commercial production in 75 and expects annual production of 180,000 net tons for the next 20 years. But you can bet one thing, they'll not be producing for white South Africa, because white South Africa is tottering too much with its breakaway Transkei state, Botswana, and Namibia. In spite of Africa's last-ditch efforts with U.S. military assistance to invade places like Angola, they have been completely expelled and driven back. This facility of U.S. Steel Corporation and all the giant corporations of U.S. that run and own Union of South Africa has reserves of acid and metallurgical grade fluorspar, calcium fluorite. Then they own Persica Copper Mines, P C-O-P-R-I-E-S-K-A, copper mines. United States Steel extracts copper and zinc and estimates that there are $47 million tons of crude oil reserves that shall be used to buoy U.S. capitalism. That's when the workers of U.S. are going to be in real trouble, when USA corporations can no longer take advantage of our black brothers, our Indian brothers and sisters in South Africa, our Asian brothers and sisters who work for pennies an hour. When they are driven out of Africa, U.S. workers and black people, Indian people, poor working class white people, better to look out in the USA, because their standard of living will drop terribly. Right now, just like the goats and the sheep, pigs are getting ready for slaughter. They're giving a little bit of extra food, fattening them up for the slaughter. And they can do this at the expense of slaughtering and brutalizing and killing other people in other parts of the world. But liberation is the wave of the day. Neocolonialism is being destroyed everywhere. Asia, Latin America, and Africa. And so when these corporations are taken over and expropriated, not nationalized, but taken over by the people of Africa, then U.S. is going to be in real trouble. It's estimated that U.S. Steel, as I said, has 47 million tons of crude oil reserve. In 1977, 111,000 net tons of copper and 163,000 net tons of zinc were shipped from this facility to help U.S. capitalism. Ferroalloys, F-E-R-A-L-L-O-Y-S Limited, 54% ownership by U.S. Steel. This mine contains ferromanganese, F-E-R-R-O-M-A-N-G-A-N-E-S-E, and ferrochrome, F-E-R-R-O-C-H-R-O-M-E. It's very hard to read some of this material because the print is poor. Associated Ore and Mine Metal Corporation, U.S. owns 57%. Associated Manganese Mines of South Africa Limited, U.S. owns 50%. The mine is a major manganese ore producer and has high-grade iron ore reserves. U.S. Steel has contracted with the South African government to purchase over 3 million net tons of this ore to enable the U.S. South African government to maintain its hold of slavery on the backs of our black brothers and sisters. USA, as I said, has agreed to purchase over 3 million net tons of this ore, minimum 63% iron. They've agreed to do this annually for 15 years, beginning in 1978. U.S. Steel 10K form filed December 31 with the Securities and Exchange Commission. There's a document proving this. And that's how slavery exists. Apartheid concentration camps exist because USA maintains it. Its government maintains it with arms so it can invade the People's Republic of Angola. Its vast multinational and transnational corporations and fascist monopoly USA uphold the terrible repression of black, brown, and Asian people by keeping them at low wages and buying the products with the surplus of their labor. The wages that should go to the workers end up in U.S. profits. Bethlehem U.S. Steel owns at least 15 foreign subsidiaries, but due to Securities and Exchange Commission regulations, a corporation does not have to list those subsidiaries in which they own less than 50%. In Bethlehem Steel's reports to the SEC, it is noted that the company has interest in 42 such subsidiaries, but has not named one of them. Sociologists and economists have shown that a corporation can exert a controlling interest in another smaller company while holding much less than 50% interest, even as little as 15%. Bethlehem Steel does own the following subsidiaries in South Africa's dreaded fascist police state. Bell Agencies, based in Johannesburg. It's in the Directorate of Incorporated Ownership. The Likes, L-Y-K-E-S Corporation, the owner of the Youngstown, Ohio Sheet and Tube, is also the owner of one of the largest worldwide steam shipping concerns, the Likes Brothers Steamship Company of Union of South Africa's dreaded fascist apartheid state. Like Brothers, steamship with 41 ocean-going vessels and 246 barges, is one of the major shipping companies to and from South Africa. Like Brothers reports, according to the Securities Exchange Commission, even they put that in USA. In South Africa, racism is law. Trade unions are outlawed. No union organizing, no strikes, no workers' benefits, no medical care, no free education at any level. Blacks are not allowed to even to learn. They're not allowed university educations. And wages and working conditions are so bad for the majority of the workers. According to the United Nations, whites in South Africa make 21 times what the average black, Asian, or Indian makes. Over 85% of the population is made up of black and brown skinned people, and yet the white make 21 times the wages of these people. We should be incensed. This is what our dollar is doing. The money that we would, when we work for these companies, the taxes withdrawn, the taxes taken back, even our work, our labor force working in these companies. If you worked in any of these related industries,